All right. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Everybody have your Bibles? Come on, give it up. You all have your Bibles? Do you, are you ready to, journey to look into the, Word of God and to see what God has to say to us today? I'm glad to be back after 3 weeks, and it was a blessing how God has brought me through replacement of hip surgery, and here, no pain, feeling real good, strong. Actually, I feel stronger today and more alive, and my mind is sharp, and it's good to see everybody in church and to see there's some new faces. I welcome you all. Thank you. Keep coming, and we're glad to get the good report. Okay, there's a Psalms 142. I want you to put that up on the board. A Psalms 142 chapter. Before I left here, we were in Psalms, right? And I hear you all quoting that 107 Psalms. You were quoting 107 Psalms, and then I was also in 146 Psalms. I think that was the last one that I was in. And it's a blessing to see how much you know and remember. And today I want to just talk to you, because the Word of God is precious. All of the Word of God is precious. And I know that we many times focus, and ministers, not all, but some focus on certain scriptures. But I like to go pretty well all over the Bible as much as I can. I don't understand everything in the Bible, but I would like to know more about God and about His Word. And I was thinking and praying this morning, and in my mind, loving God, and after all He has done for me, because I've seen truly the hand of God working and miracles and helping me. Because a month ago I couldn't really walk, but today I'm getting back there, and it's a miracle. And without no major pain, you know. And He has never left me. Thank God for my wife Rosie and all she has done. So, and this Psalms is just a wonderful book. David and many other writers. But in the 42nd chapter, verse 1, it says that I cried. Let's all read. Remember how we do it? You don't know how beautiful it is. I cried. You know that's personal, isn't it? It's an individual. You cannot just, yes, I love, you all prayed for me, and I love you pray for me, and I prayed for you. And you pray for one another. You have to do that. Pray one for another. Because we are our brothers and our sisters' keeper. And you have to pray for the church. You have to watch out for one another. When we see each other, it's a blessing. Okay? You're wanted. Don't ever feel that, well, I'm not needed in that church. I'm not wanted. Yes, you are needed, and you're wanted. Your presence, and when you're not here, we miss you. While I was away, my mind was on everybody. And when I hear them and see them in church, and then walk in here this morning and see all your smiling face and a few new ones that after today they're not new anymore. But I welcome you all, and to see that people been laboring, trying to witness. And we're glad to see Elizabeth again. We miss you. And she's no stranger. But the Word of God, can you take that personally for you? I cried unto the Lord. Because He's your Lord.
Amen.
He's your Savior. But you have to cry. You know when you cry? Do you understand? Have you seen a little baby crying to the mother or father for help? Amen. Do you know why they cry? Because they have confidence in mother. When a child is hungry, a baby, what do? Who do they cry to? Because they know. They're not going to cry to a stranger. They're going to cry to their parents. To mom especially. So God is our father. Amen. And the Lord cares for you. And you have a need. We all have a need. Amen. So what do we do with that? I cry. Sometimes the reason why we don't get an answer is because we're just trying to reason with God. Bargain. I give you $10, you give me $1,000. That's not crying. See, that's not what the Bible says. You're trying to make a deal. But you don't make a deal with God. You come to God helpless. Amen. Having nothing. But your problems. And then your cares. And you hand it over to the Lord. So what do? I cried. Amen. Unto who? The Lord. To the Lord. You don't get an answer because sometimes you cry to the wrong one. Even to your husband or your wife. Or your children. Your parents. That's okay to ask. But put your confidence in the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord. So we miss the mark many times because we looked at the wrong person, the wrong source. This poor man cried unto the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all of my fears, my stress, my problem. See, someone going through their problems and they cannot pray. I have too much problem. I cannot cry. You need to cry to the Lord. You need to cry to God. And we're living in a society now where there's different culture. And we think we have to be a part of our culture to get things done. But as a child of God, you have no culture but Christ. Oh, you didn't get that, do you? See, the name of Jesus Christ. That is your source. Because God is no respecter. Remember that. You might be. But God is no respecter of person. You read Revelation. Every nation. Every tribe. Every tongue. God's no respecter of persons. It's only us that divides groups. But God doesn't do that. God doesn't attend a church because it's a white church or a black church or that. Amen. 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 He goes there because those are his children. Yes. And those that honor me, them that honor me, I will honor them. So you honor God. Because when you get to heaven, there's not going to be a white heaven and a black heaven. Amen. Okay. One nation. One generation, a holy nation. You remember that it's a holy nation. So, if you want to go to heaven, you better try to get along with everybody because we're going to be mixed up. Amen. And somebody said, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to change my color. No, you won't. You got that permanent. Well, I'll be spirit. Well, you'll be painted spirit. Okay, black or white spirit, whatever. But I cried unto the Lord with my what? Do you have a voice? The same voice you use for the telephone that you can't get off, cut it shorter. And use some of that for Jesus. With my voice, you see, emphasis twice. With my, notice, my voice. Please, please, can somebody pray for me? I can't pray for myself. Stop that. The same voice that you're using to ask them to pray for you. Just ask the Lord. And instead of asking somebody to pray for you, just pray to the Lord. You know, the Lord doesn't like secondhand prayer. He likes when you come personally. This scripture tells us how we are to enter his gates with, you've got to get in there with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. So with my voice unto the Lord did I make what? Because, you know, you got a list of things you need done and you want. Supplication. But now, you're going to go there, and supplication means you, in the spirit of humility and not trading, I give you this, you get, oh, I deserve this, I've been doing this, I pay my tithe, so I'm qualified, entitled for this. You are too proud. Okay, too exalted. The Lord love a humble spirit. A meek spirit. A quiet spirit. Have you ever seen that cocky, exalted spirit? Somebody walking there. I am better than you are. I got a better car, a nicer car. And look at you. Look at the junk you drive. Ain't nobody giving me some respect. Don't you see me? I just walk in the room. It's he that exalted himself shall be abased. You want to go down? Lift yourself up. Let that little tongue. Don't control it. Let your tongue become like a runaway train. And you find out what happened to you. You find out what happened to you. You got to control it. What about thank you? Please. What about waiting? What about that humility? What about speaking to somebody nicely? Commending someone? Huh? What about getting rid of that arrogant spirit and everybody got to know, oh, you're there, but you're there in the wrong way? Because you're flapping your wings. Nobody's afraid of that. Not in this age. It's a humble spirit. It's talking about Moses was so meek. David behaved himself wisely. You know the way up? The way down. If you want to be exalted, the baseboard right down there, right? You be. And God will be humble. He lift the poor up out of the dust. You don't lift yourself. And you say, what about me? No. If something is not right, you bring your supplication to the Lord. Yes. Your healing, your deliverance. Yes. You want a better job. You don't have to write somebody around the world and tell them you, or get a piece of their leaves from unholy water that they got from their faucet anyway. And there's nothing holy about that. The holy water is the spirit, the word. So let's go on a little bit. No, I didn't make my supplication. Have you made it? Made your supplication and said, God, keep this church alive. I love this church. Have you done that? I love the word. And you come straight to it. Let the word get you. I'm not talking about Sunday morning now. Hey, if you have to wait for Sunday morning to have church and love God, and then what about Saturday? What about Friday? What about in the week? Huh? You're snapping, turtle. You're ready to bite everybody. Huh? But Sunday morning you are, my goodness. But it says, verse 2, it says, notice when. Do you know, have you ever get something and a pail of water and it start, you pour it out? That's why we've got things in our heart, in our spirit, in our soul, that we've got to pour it out, but not before anybody. Not even when you come to prayer meeting and everybody, and you expose, don't open up the pail. Amen. Keep the lid on. Yes. This is a secret between you and God. Amen. Supplication. Okay? Between you and God, and you get there, and do not keep the lid on. Amen. That's the time to get down, open your mouth, make sure your husband is gone, or your wife, and the kids. Okay, you don't want to, it's a relationship that you build between you and God. Supplication. You don't want nobody there. supplication is between you and God. It's not a prayer meeting. It's a personal thing. It's a it's a time when you share your secret. Yes. Secrets with the Lord.
Yes.
You empty your heart.
Yes.
The pail, the bucket of your heart, your soul. Yes. He says, I poured out my complaints. Where? I wish I had a church could tell me who you poured out before. Yes. Not the pastor. But before him. You know why we don't get deliverance? We're pouring out at the wrong place. I showed before him my trouble. It's all about him. Has anybody ever get to the place where you realize that he's the only one that can help you in your troubles? Your supplication? Come on. Have you ever gotten that where the burdens and things you're keeping, you don't have to keep it anymore? Cast your care upon the Lord, your burdens, and he will deliver you. I showed him. I showed before him my troubles. That alone should make you happy. This chapter of scripture right here. When I was in the hospital and God gave me this chapter. And as I go down, when I was meditating on the last verse, I'll get there. That Sunday night, while you all was having church and I was listening, I mean, Sister Joy touched the book of Acts about Paul and Silas in prison. Let me go on. Yes. Verse 3 says,
When
my spirit was overwhelmed within me. You know when that word overwhelmed, there's a little number there? Fainted. Do you know that when you had enough?
Yes.
Eh? Like my wife was telling you, when I was there and I was in and I couldn't even swallow my food and I kept hearing she say, true, swallow. Because it was there, I couldn't swallow it. And then I come and I swallow it. And then she said, drink it. But she had to keep reminding me to do it. And I was overwhelmed. And even she was overwhelmed. And she's pouring out, walking around my bed when I couldn't do it. And pouring out and making supplication. I didn't even know she was praying. I was there, but I didn't know. I was out of it. But she was making supplication, pouring out troubles and telling God and putting everything before God. We came through that surgery without having to pay a dollar. Don't tell me God's not real. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, what do you do? Then thou knewest my path. God knows everything about. Don't try to ease and hide something from him. He knows your heart. He says, then thou knowest my path. In the way wherein I walk, have they privily laid a snare for me. All right. See, you don't want to listen to God, right? You don't want to pour out your troubles and you don't want to see God. It's important because somebody out there, including the devil, has got a trap because they know, hey, she's coming down this way. He's coming down this way. We know she's going to run over to us. She's in trouble. He's going to come over here and we're going to get him. But when you go to the Lord, instead of they surprising you, you surprising them. Because they're waiting for you to come. And when they look and realize you're not coming, they know you've got trouble, but you didn't call them to borrow or to beg. They're wondering now, how come she didn't call me yet? Because you've got a way maker. Because you find another path. Because you begin to walk in the ways of the Lord, you turn it all over to Jesus.
Yes.
Amen? And he directs your steps.
Yes.
Because now you're just. And the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more to the perfect day. So you don't need them anymore. You don't need your in-laws. You don't need your outlaws. You don't need nobody but Jesus Christ. Now, you've got to get to that place right now where you build a relationship where you take everything to the Lord in prayer. In all your ways, you acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So, he says, he knew in the way wherein I walk, have they privily laid a snare for me. Like Elisha was able to tell the king of Israel where the Syrians were. And they tried to take Elisha by surprise, but he knew. Nobody can outsmart God. And when God is on your side, who can be against you? Yeah. Come on, tell me somebody, who can be against you? The devil said, I'm going to stop you from going to church, but he can't. It's because you don't surrender to the Lord all your way. In other words, you give him a part, but you're not giving him all of it because you reserve a part. And you think that God doesn't know. You know, and so because you will not tell him, you want to know a secret? I like secrets. I don't like people's business. I don't want to know your secrets. But I want to know the Lord's secret. Yes. Yes. And the Lord has a lot of secrets. Yes. And he said the secrets of the Lord is with them that fear him. Yes. Do you want to know a secret? Start to fear God. Yes. You tell him your secrets. Yes. And he's going to tell you his secret. Yes. And they are going to wonder, where did she get that revelation from? I wonder about what book, what church she's been before the Lord. Like Mary, she seeks the better part. You know, Martha was back there cooking, doing her own thing. Are you understand what I mean by when you do your own thing, that's what you're doing. You're cooking, like Martha. But when you give up all of that, and you need, I didn't say you shouldn't cook. You cook your meal. But you understand what I'm saying. But when you sit at that feet and make time for Jesus, and he's going to begin to show you the secret. Hallelujah. You want to know a secret? Yeah. Go home tonight, spend some time with Jesus, and begin to tell him some things you know about yourself. The things that you're hiding, go down and don't pretty it up. The Lord doesn't like, you pretty up your secrets. Well, I'm not so bad, Lord. I have a few mistakes. No, tell him you're low down. Tell him you're the worst. You go and do that. Try that. Tell him you're a hypocrite. Tell him that you mix up. Say, Lord, I'm the biggest liar. Paul told the Lord his secret. He said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. Peter said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Have you ever tried that? Yeah. Instead of saying, Lord, you stay with me because I'm so righteous. No, say, God, I don't know how you stay with me. Yeah. I need to wash. I need to cleanse. Yeah. I'm covered over with sores, with wounds and bruises. I need you, Lord. Help me. I know you didn't have to do it. You didn't have to heal me. You didn't have to pay my bills. You didn't have to take away my pain. But you did it because you love me and I love you. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel God here this morning. And let me go on. Where it says that I look, notice, on my right hand and beheld. But there was no man that would know me. Wait. So you looking at this one and looking at that and looking at that organization and looking at that group and think they got something for you're making a mistake. There ain't nothing there. Yes. Amen. You want something? Pray to God. Ask him to give you a job. Yes. The right job. Yes. Ask him to give you a place. Help you. And he will. And when you pay your tithe and offering, Don't hold it up as a weapon before God or the church and say, look what I've done. You ain't done nothing. It's not your money. The tithe, you see the problem? You can't read. You need to, you can't read. The tithe belongs to the Lord. Bring all of the tithe into the storehouse. And the storehouse is not your bank. The storehouse for your tithe, it's not some fast-talking evangelist across town. It's your church. Yes. That's right.
Amen.
You might not like the church or the pastor, but that ain't got nothing to do with it. The Lord didn't say you have to like the church or the pastor. It said bring ye all. Amen. So, are you going to obey the Lord and do that? And glad about it. And you're going to find what happened to you after a while. You see, you say, well, I've been giving to the Lord. But what have you been giving? You cannot give somebody something that belongs to them. You have to put something in that. Okay. We Sister Joni loaned us her car. My wife gave it back to her. We didn't give her nothing. But if she... That's a joke now. But if she had gone and found $1,000 in there, that's a dream. But you understand what I'm saying? We didn't give her nothing. When you give the Lord, you're just like the landlord and the rent. When you pay your rent to the landlord, your mortgage, when we pay the mortgage for this church, they never say thank you. So you look on your right hand, don't be surprised now. You're not the first one. And beheld, but there was no one, no man that would know me. Refuge failed. You get discouraged, you give up your hand, throw your hands out. Wait. No man cared. Underline that. No man cared for my soul. So if David could write that years ago, and you right here now, you're wrong. No man cared for my soul. Until he discovered. Who cared? Who became a man? One time we didn't have a man who cared until he was God, became man for us. I feel like shouting. He who knew no sin became sin for you. That's why you're here today. And you're here because God loves you. And because you love God, and you ought to be saying, thank you, and I can't wait for next service. I can't wait.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And you get to where, listen, where you love God, that nobody have to beg you to come to church. You say, Pastor, you said, can't we start church a little earlier? I can't wait. And you start coming early, clap your hands, and walk around and praise the Lord, and you're lifting up your voice and say thank you for this church. And you get excited like you're getting. I say thank you for the pastor is back. Ooh, ha-ha. Said, I know sometimes, like a father does, he whom the father loveth, he and scourge. And I know sometimes that, to the hungry soul, every bit of, and I'm hungry. I want God. I want more of God. Are you hungry? Then prepare for a whipping. Somebody say you want to go to the next level? Prepare for a whipping. He chastens you. But you know, when we talk about go to the next level and breakthrough, but we just think, financial breakthrough and a cool, nice, sweet breakthrough. When you are a breakthrough and to go to the next level, he's going to have to whip you. Are you ready for that? Okay, so we talk about breakthrough. Breakthrough what? And you're going to get, I see your breakthrough coming. The breakthrough that I see coming is more correction and whipping. Because if you're without correction, you are a bastard. But whom the Father loveth, he chasteneth. That's the breakthrough, and that's the next level. And scourgeth every son that he receives. So you want to be of a sonship relationship?
Hallelujah.
All right. All right. All right. Sit down with God and have a fireside chat. And the Lord will chasten you in secret, and you come out, you wipe your face, and nobody know that you just receive a spanking. Because when you get in God's face, and the first thing he's going to ask you is, when last do you kneel down and pray? Amen.
Amen.
God's not going to spoil you and show a lot of stuff on you. You might have that infirmity for quite a while, but before you die, he's going to break it and take it off of you. And you never know what it feels like to be without pain until you don't have pain. You feel like shouting. You feel like dancing. You love everybody. I mean, you love the cat. You love the dog. Everything looks good. Everything feels good. I mean, even things that didn't taste good, taste good. The problem why we're so grumpy is because we're full of pain. Wounds and bruises that we need to be healed. Naturally and in the spirit. You want to get a breakthrough? Let him cleanse you of the wounded heart, the broken spirit. Let me go back. He said, I cried, verse 5, unto thee, O Lord. I said, notice, words are important. Come on. Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Look, notice, the only one I have is not your insurance, your bank policy, whatever you have. It's God. God is my portion now. Right now. So a lot of times people look and say, well, that's one's going to promote me. It's God who promotes you. But you prove yourself to God. And you find out nobody can take your crown. And you sit there waiting for men to promote you. No, you come and sing and shout and praise God and don't worry about, you know. Hallelujah. You like Mary. Mary sing when the pastor wasn't here and I heard him way over there. Right? That was awesome, girl. Amen. I did hear. I said, my. It was awesome. I said, boy, to my wife, I said, I like them to sing in the convention. You got a talent. You got a gift. Hallelujah. I cried unto thee, O Lord. What did you say to him? Let me ask you something. What did you say to her? What did you say to my wife? Tell me. I said, she's a good. Ronald, what was that word? Precious. What did you say to my wife, Ronald, the other day coming over? The extraordinary. I said, what did you say to God? You're always praying. What did you say to him? I said, are you with me now? Come on. I said, what did you say to him this morning? Did you talk to him? Or you call your neighbor? You get on Facebook? You get around the world asking for help? No. I said, I'm going to shout. What did you say? What did you say? I said, I can't hear you. I wish I had a happy church. What did you say to the Lord? If you didn't say nothing, that's why you got a problem. You see, you were talking to everybody else beside God. You say this to this one, and you say that to this one, and you run all over the neighborhood telling people and spend time. But if you take a few minutes by yourself and say something to God, I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Hallelujah. Verse 6. I said, attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I am. That's the devil. And no one can bind a strong man. No one can set you free when the devil binds you out of the prison house. Until a stronger comes your way. And this stronger one is Jesus Christ, the stronger man. Did you talk to the stronger man? I said, did you talk to him today? Who are you talking to? I said, my own words, my own experience. I'm talking to God, the one who can help me in the land of the living. Hallelujah. Attend unto my cry. For I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger. And then, you know what he did? And he come and he harm you. And he makes you. And he said, now, let the weak say, I am strong. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen?
Amen.
Then he come and he give you the whole armor of God and say, put this on. And be strong in the Lord. And he strengthens you. He gives power to the faint. He raise up the poor out of the dust. He make a weak. He make the weak, Hebrews said. They walks violent in fight. Hallelujah. Next verse in closings. Bring my soul. Notice we're going to focus on that a while. Bring my soul. Here's a problem. You don't know you're in prison. Because nobody tell you that. Nobody show you the way out. You see, because you're walking around the bodies. But there's another part of you. It's a soul. And that's where the devil keeps in prison. Bring my soul out of prison. That I may praise thy name. So, when you came praising, and you're looking for something else to fill that empty void, because your soul is in prison. Spirit is in prison. But Isaiah 61 says, the spirit, find that verse, stay right there, but somebody read that for me. The spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Is it 61 or 62, verse 1? He said, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach. That's Jesus speaking. To preach the gospel to the poor. This poor man cried to the Lord, and he delivered me. He had anointed me, right, to preach the good tidings to the meek. Read. He had sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of what? Prison doors. What prison? Not just the one downtown, but it's your soul in prison. That's why you're here today. He opened up the prison door of your soul. You were in bondage. And he says, bring my soul
out of prison.
Jesus didn't just bail you out so you have to go back to court. He totally destroyed the prison.
Amen.
And the authority. And the power. And the dominion. And the house of the devil. He destroyed the house of the strong man. And he bring the prisoner out. That's why you're here today. You are a soul that has been set free. Bring my soul in closing out of prison. That's why we're trying. If you ever begin to get your soul, when you cry and make supplication, you're going to see the joy that comes in your heart. All right. You see, the things that binds you up. Last Saturday. Last Friday. Last Tuesday. And probably even make you don't make you back to church because something holding you back. You see, you come to church, you feel good, but as soon as you get out, he says, come. Get back in prison. And lock the door. You don't believe that. You see, that's the thing. You don't believe that. You think that's a fairy tale, but it's not. And you ever seen that?
Yes.
And you said to yourself, now why did I spend my day off like that? When I could have been praying and reading the Bible.
Amen.
I'll never do it next week. But when next week comes, you're right back in prison.
Yeah.
You find yourself the same seat, doing the same thing.
Right.
And you say, no, I got to stop. I'm not doing that. Look at me doing. And the following week, you're right back in it. Because you're in prison. It's not your body, but it's something inside called your soul that needs to get out of that prison house.
Amen.
And until you get out of it, you'll not be able to really praise him. You might give one of those little, you know, we do it. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. But you can hear that from the prison cell. They scream a little bit, but they're still in prison. But the same, you know, you're sold in prison and glory, 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 glory. You're struggling. It's not free. It's not the spirit that's set free. You got discerning and you can know without touching that brother is not free. That sister is not. And they might be rolling, kicking, jumping, shouting. But you know that there's something inside there. And they might sing and shout or whatever. Somebody say, oh, that's powerful. But the neighbor that sits by with discerning know that, my, help that brother. And until somebody get through to him or her and they're willing to listen, they'll die that way. It takes a technical church with a message to get you out of prison. You can be going to church for years and you're in bondage. So now David had it right. The psalmist had it right. He said, now I'm playing the harp, jumping, running, killing Goliath and all this thing. But I'm in prison. There's a part of me that's in prison. You know what I'm saying? When you can't touch God and you pray and you fall asleep on your knees. You said, I'm going to fast and pray today. And before you know it, you're in every donut shop. Right? And you go to buy the biggest grocery cart, load up, and come home. Come on, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Prisoners.
Yeah.
And when I would do good, evil is present with me.
Yeah.
There's something that I want to do for God, but there's something in there that's stronger than I am.
Amen.
That's when you need to call, cry to Jesus. Help me.
Yeah.
And go back to Isaiah 61 says, he was anointed to set the captives free.
Yes.
Read it for me again.
Yes.
Where did we stop?
Spirit.
Yes, it's up on me because read on faster.
Yes.
He had anointed me to preach the good tidings to the meek. He had sent me to bind up the broken in hearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. And to open what prison? What prison? Of your soul. So you can praise him. To open the prison door, read on. To them that are bound. To proclaim the year of the Lord. And the day of vengeance and so on. Read on. And to comfort all who mourn. And to appoint unto them in Zion. To give them, listen, watch that. To give them what? Beauty for ashes. So when you give up something that you don't want to let go, that's ashes. That's ugly. And you're trading beauty that you could have for ashes. But you got to turn around and give up ashes for beauty. And shame for glory. But you won't get that if you're in prison. So you need to get out. And when you get out, he dressed you up in a beautiful armor.
Praise God.
My God. How many like to look good? That's what Jesus Christ came for. You try it. Put away that little smart, because you ain't fooling nobody. Well, I fool pastor. You want to come talk to me and see how much you fooled me? Personally, let's go one-on-one. And say, pastor, tell me, what do you think? And trick me, you trick me, you fool me. And I'm going to write, I've got your notes made, written down in my mind. You want to, just try it. I'm fooled. I know you won't come, but come. Well, we've been tricking, pastor. You trick me? I could have tell you what that little ugly heart of yours is thinking. You're tricking, pastor. I know you're sneaky. I know you're going to do it. I won't put a damn word of confidence in you in that way. I wouldn't buy you for a donut with that spirit. As long as your spirit is in prison, you ain't worth nothing. But when you come out and step out of that prison, once I was bound, but now I'm free. Get out of that prison. Because unless you get out, you don't want nothing. And when you get out, guess what you're going to do? Go back there. Psalms. He says, quickly, when you get out of prison in closing, here's what happened. Bring my soul out of prison. Why? That I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. You're the one that's losing. When you're sneaky, you play those little games you played for 20 years. You go and eat the same little oxtail. Let me use my own Jamaican food. Jerk chicken, and I like that. It's nothing against oxtail, but I use my own. But what I'm saying spiritually, you go back on the same. And you think you're going to get. All right. You keep driving up and down the lane here. Don't do it. And see where you go. You want to go to LA? Just keep driving right back and forth. Stop. You turn back and keep. See if you get there. That's what you do. When you jump in your car and park up and you get off. Woo! And you didn't read your Bible and you could have spent a time with God. Let me tell you something. Lonely hours. Night. Ain't so lonely when God's with you. 3 o'clock in the morning, wife was sleeping, can't get up. He was so real. I wasn't even reading my Bible. I was playing my Bible thing, but listening to that, meditating. He became real. He was so real. And I knew he was with me. When you all came to look, I knew. I saw God all over you all. And just less than a month ago, what I couldn't do, I don't do it now. And a month from now, I do even more. Don't tell me that that's not God. Amen. And I praise him. I praise him. So, bring my soul. This is a focus now. I'm not talking about your body. Don't go commit no crime, break, and do things. That's your problem. I'm dealing with this soul right now. Bring my soul out of prison. That's another prison. A lot of you might be free in body, but you're... Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. That's the reason why. Okay? Nobody's taking away anything for you. So you will praise him. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Thank God for the lesson today. Thank God for his mercies, for all that he has done. Give the Lord a praise.